This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. When Dorothy Day co-founded the Catholic worker movement in the 1930s, she challenged the existing structure of the Catholic Church. She insisted that direct help to the poor was part of the Christian gospel and supported their cause through a newspaper and repeated protests for social justice. Today, her granddaughter, Martha Hennessy, carries on Dorothy's legacy. Martha volunteers at Catholic Workers Mary House in Manhattan, where she continues her grandmother's work. She's in this area for a number of appearances over the next few days, but joins me first in the studio, Martha Hennessy. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
For those who don't remember or maybe didn't know about the work of Dorothy Day, tell us about the Catholic Workers Movement she co-founded.
The movement started in 1933, right in the throes of the Great Depression. And Dorothy was a journalist, a reporter. She worked for newspapers. And she met Peter Maurin in December of 1932. And they started with a newspaper. And the purpose was to address the issues, the pressing issues of workers, families of that time.
Interesting that she would do this through the filter of Catholicism and Christianity. She didn't consider herself very religious in her earlier years, right?
By 1932, she was already baptized. She was 5 years into her conversion. She had been baptized earlier. But she was in a position of not quite recognizing what her vocation was regarding her Catholicism, her faith, and how to apply that as a journalist.
And her sense of faith and her sense of how it, what it meant and how it should be interpreted, I think, is important here because it certainly challenged the Catholic hierarchy at the time. And her sense of a deeper spirituality is something that appears to have guided her. Here's what she said about that.
I think that just as we're living in a nuclear age, something we have grown so tremendously in scientific knowledge, it doesn't seem too much to say that men can begin to awaken to the fact that they haven't grown enough spiritually and haven't recognized their spiritual capacities. And I think that today there is certainly the beginnings of a movement of nonviolence all over the world.
That's a clip of Dorothy Day on the show Christopher Close Up in 1971. My guest is Martha Hennessy. She's the granddaughter of Dorothy Day, and she's going to be speaking all around the area over the next couple of days. She's with me now on the State of Things. Talk about this connection in her work and your work today between a deeper spirituality and nonviolence.
She's talking about the beginnings, the stirrings of a nonviolent approach to addressing the oppression of the state. And the nuclear, she witnessed the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know, as an American here. She wrote about it in September of 1945. And she clearly and immediately understood what that portended for us. And so we have Jesus, we have the gospel teachings, and at the heart of what Jesus brings to us is, follow me and you will end up on the cross. So we are faced with making a choice. Are we going to behave nonviolently or are we going to continue in the mode that we've been in for 10,000 years?
And so in terms of the work she did, it meant opening houses that ultimately were open all across the country that served the homeless and became places where communities and bonds were formed and people were in some ways helping themselves as well. But it was a way to serve the underserved in this country.
Yes, the soup line came out of the need of the striking workers themselves. She always said, we didn't start the soup line. Someone just started offering coffee, and we realized that there was an intense need here for these unemployed workers to be able to have at least one meal a day. And so the Sermon on the Mount is considered our manifesto, and we are called to take action. We are called to take personal responsibility at a personal cost and to meet those most intense, immediate needs that are in front of us. And the Great Depression certainly showed that the immense, massive displacement of peoples and of workers and starvation within our own country, you had to respond, and the best response for a Christian would be to follow the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount.
How did you come to follow in her footsteps and carry on her legacies? You didn't do that right away.
I'm not the one to carry on her legacy. There are many people who have dedicated many years to this work. This is an anarchist movement. We all come to God in our own times and in our own ways, and we all act out of our free will. I had to grow up. I had to raise my family. I was terrified of this whole concept of following in her footsteps. Mm. So I beg to differ when people couch it in those terms. It's not easy to describe, you know, what happens with conversions. Conversions are mysterious things. And so I certainly had throughout my lifetime an acute awareness of the suffering of others and also the question of social justice. It was the piety and the religiosity of Dorothy that I had to come to grips with as an adult.
You talk about this as an anarchist movement, and in so many ways, if the Sermon on the Mount is your manifesto, then yes, it must be, because the order of the day, the order of America, the social order, is antithetical to the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount mm-hmm. calls on us to be meek, to be poor in spirit, to do all the things that an American loathes, to give up power.
Yes, yes, to take on voluntary poverty, to take on the suffering of the poor, to see Christ in the poor.
Right, and to follow, and to go to the cross, that you die mm-hmm. there. And interestingly enough, she didn't see the state as any part of the solution to this. So there, she and some conservatives had a lot in common. Let's listen to this.
Everybody looks to the state, and looks to the state for funding, and looks to the state to keep our schools going. Always turning to the state. And the state isn't supposed to be functioning in this way. Martin Buber says the state should be a community of communities. And certainly the popes have said that the state should never do what smaller bodies can do. And here when unions and credit unions and cooperatives are the basis of man's mutual aid and working together, it's an entirely different political point of view, and it makes for peace.
Dorothy Day in a talk show in 1971. I'm talking with Dorothy Day's granddaughter, Martha Hennessy, the granddaughter of Dorothy Day. She'll be speaking around the area over the next couple of days. I mean, it's interesting. We talk about the state not being the place for this, but she certainly wasn't saying so private corporations should take over the business of the state so that they can profit at our expense, which is what the current mantra is.
Which is fascism.
Yeah.
To have the corporate-run state. Well, I think what's key in what she said, let us allow smaller bodies to do what they are able to do. And so the smaller, the more personal, the more local, the more relevant. And I certainly believe that we have to have a certain amount of structure to provide housing, to provide education, to maintain infrastructure. And we can do that. That's not the difficulty here. The problem is when you turn every human function into an opportunity to profit. And so we can't take good care of ourselves when we are allowing someone else to structure it and to gain from it. But there is also a contradiction here. The Holy Mother State, she talks about. I am number 7 of 9 children. My family relied on welfare. In order, my family grew up fatherless. And so we always come to the place of contradiction and realities in life, Catholic life. And so I would just say that the lesson there for all of us is one of mercy and understanding and tolerance in terms of who the poor are, how do we meet their needs, and when we rely on an economy that is a war-based economy, all aspects of our livelihoods are distorted.
Your grandmother expressed a certain amount of optimism in both of those clips that we heard about the way things are changing, at least in her mind. Mm. She begins this work in the 1930s. In many ways, we were there again in 2008. For poor people, they have not yet recovered, and the state has done nothing to help them in that recovery when it could have.
Mm-hmm.
Is she justified in that optimism, and are you optimistic?
Yes, yes, we have to maintain our optimism. That's part of our faith, faith, hope, and love. And so I'm optimistic that we do have the capacity to take care of ourselves. I'm optimistic that the majority of us want peace, want to raise our families in a healthy manner, do not want to be making more war continually. And I think that it's up to the majority to come to grips with a minority that is pulling us in this horrific direction. There's always hope. There are many, many people doing all kinds of wonderful works of mercy. And we have examples in this area with some of the Catholic worker communities.
People do it, but are they in their silos, and is it having any impact on allowing those grassroots movements to have the kind of political impact that can release the grip of the few over the many that has been so destructive over these past years?
Well, Dorothy also spoke about us appearing to be fools. Fools for Christ, and, you know, to be continually failing in the face, putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. I mean, that is always the question. Why bother? But I think that God sees what we're doing, and every little bit that we do counts. So we have to retain that faith. And what is the option? The option is either to be complacent and silent or to become one of the minority. So I'm happy doing this effort.
Well, I'm happy you took some time to talk with us. Martha Hennessy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Martha Hennessy is the granddaughter of Catholic Worker Movement leader Dorothy Day. She's going to speak tonight at Duke Divinity School, 7 o'clock at St. Francis Church in Raleigh. That happens tomorrow at 7. And you can find out all the details about Martha's appearances in the area at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we preview a new film about one family's journey to healing and reconciliation after their son died at the World Trade Center in the attacks on September 11th. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.